The prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 3. And he showed Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head, and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us this reading from his word. I would like to look this evening for a little time at this man we have before us in the prophecy of Zechariah as a picture of the sinner. We see him standing before the Lord. The scene that Zechariah is depicting is the temple yonder in Jerusalem. And here is this man who has been anointed as high priest of Israel, and he is ministering in the sanctuary, standing before the Lord. And Satan at his right hand to resist him. The first thing I want you to notice about this dear man is this, that his garments were stained. But as we proceed through the narrative, we find that he is cleansed. His iniquities have been removed. He is clothed. He is commissioned, and he is crowned. But looking at Joshua as a picture of the sinner, we see this dear man standing condemned. One thing I'd like you to notice is this, that he doesn't have one word to speak in his own defense. Why? Because he's guilty. He's guilty. When I come to the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear friend, you and I, just like this dear man, we stand condemned before God. Our garments have been defiled. There is not one individual in this company who can claim to be free from sin. The Apostle John declares that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Dear friend, I know my heart. And I know from the Word of God that your heart is just like mine. Because we have all been born into this scene with a depraved nature. We didn't have to teach the children to disobey. We didn't have to teach the children to do what was wrong. We discover that from early years, there is that tendency to disobey and to sin. And I want to tell you, dear friend, that so often we drift on through this scene and we accept the fact that men and women are sinners. And men and women have come to accept sin as a very light thing and as the normal. And it ought not to be so, because way back in the beginning, God made man upright. He placed him in yonder garden. And there in the garden, God told our first parents that of every tree of the garden they may eat, but of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they must not eat. And what happened? They disobeyed God. Satan entered in the form of a serpent, and he tempted our first parents. They sinned against God. They disobeyed God. Sin entered. And all down the ages, down the generations, down the centuries of time, men and women have continued in their sin and in their rebellion against the God of heaven. My dear friend, I want to tell you this evening, just as Joshua is seen standing before the Lord with those garments that were defiled, so it is with you and I. Our garments have been defiled. We have been stained by sin. And we stand guilty and condemned. We have absolutely nothing to speak in our own defense. Not a word, my friend. We stand guilty and condemned before God. And notice, Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him. I want to tell you, dear friend, the powers of darkness are very real. And this adversary of souls is very real. And it may be there are some in this meeting, and you would like to be saved. You would like to know your sins forgiven and to be sure of heaven. You know down deep in your heart that things are not right for eternity. And yet, so many things crowd into your mind. So many things come into your life. So many things would deflect you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and having this all important matter settled. My dear friend, let me tell you that we all stand guilty before God, and we have absolutely no defense of ourselves. We have no merits of our own to plead. There is absolutely nothing that we can do. Pardon me. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to clear those sin stains from our garments. Just like Joshua, we stand with our mouths closed. We stand guilty before God. Let me ask you, dear friend, how can we, by our own efforts, remove those stains of sin? How can we, by our own efforts, or our own self-righteousness, ever give ourselves a standing in the presence of a holy God? Looking again at the story we have before us of this dear man, as a picture of the sinner, condemned and guilty before God, we find that the Lord intervenes, and no one else could, because there at his right hand was the adversary, the devil himself, who would accuse him, who would hinder him, who would do everything in his power to keep the man from the blessing of God. Here we have before us in the figure of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he intervenes. Oh, thank God there is one, my friend, who loves you, one who is interested in you, one who is able to stand against the adversary and the enemy. One, my friend, who has overpowered him who had the power of death. One who has gone into death in all its reality. And there upon Calvary's cross, he died, but he rose again, and he is triumphant. He could say to his own, "All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." And I want to tell you, dear friend, if you are interested in your soul's salvation, if you are interested this evening in knowing your sins forgiven, and the blessing of everlasting life. There is one who is able to rebuke the powers of darkness, to drive back every foe, and to cleanse your guilty soul. I want you to see yourself this evening just as the speaker saw himself as a boy in his teens, when, understanding my need, realizing my condition, knowing that I was a sinner, that my garments were stained, that I could never, by nature, I could never stand in the presence of a holy God, I realized I needed a change. And friend, let me tell you that you too need that change. You need those filthy garments removed. You need those sin stains put away if you are going to stand in God's heaven and in the presence of God. And oh, I want you to notice the wonderful message that we find here in these verses. The word came from the angel of the Lord, and it says his iniquities were caused to pass away. I want to tell you, dear friend, only God could do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive sins. My blessed Lord, because of his own sacrifice, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he can cleanse the guilty sinner. My friend, here we see this dear man, and the sin stains have been removed. His iniquities are gone. And the word comes from the Lord, remove the filthy garments and clothe him. Clothe him. And here we see Joshua standing before the Lord. The filthy garments have been removed. He's been clothed. He's been declared righteous. That's exactly what God will do for you, my friend, if only you are prepared to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, you may find that it is not so easy to get saved because of the opposition of the enemy. Remember, salvation is free. The forgiveness of sins is within your reach. But the devil will put every barrier in your way to coming to Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Agonize to enter in. Make up your mind tonight that you are going to know the blessing of sins forgiven and everlasting life. And let me tell you, Joshua did not have one thing to do on his own part to have the sin stains removed. The word of the Lord was, cause his iniquity to pass away. Listen to this lovely promise. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Is it any wonder the psalmist says in Psalm 92, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Let me ask you, dear friend, in the meeting tonight, do you know anything of this blessedness? It really means, happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Do you know anything of the happiness and the joy and the blessedness of sins forgiven? There is absolutely nothing on earth to compare with this blessedness and with this happiness. We can recall days before we were saved when we tried to enjoy ourselves. We tried to forget about God and eternity and sought to enjoy ourselves in the world. But I want to tell you, there never was a joy filled my heart like the night I got saved. And I knew that my sins were forgiven. That my past, my black guilty past, was blotted out. and that I had a clear title to the glories above. Let me ask you again, my friend, do you know the blessedness of sins forgiven? You know, there are hundreds, or maybe thousands, in the city in which we live, and they would give anything to have this joy, to have this assurance, to have this blessed experience. Some, in all sincerity, are going about to find this blessedness by their own efforts, by going to church, by following their religion. But let me tell you, and let us emphasize it, Joshua did not have one little part to play in relation to the removing of those sin stains. The Lord said, cause his iniquity to pass. And the word of the Lord is, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And then they were instructed to clothe him. And we see that dear man standing before the Lord. And now it's so different. The filthy garments have been removed, and he has been declared righteous. That's the picture we have in the Epistle to the Romans. There the sinner stands, as it were, in the dock, and he is guilty. Guilty before God. And not a word to say in his own defense. Let me tell you, dear friend, if not saved tonight, that's exactly where you are. Standing guilty in the presence of God. And the judgment of God will fall upon every unrepentant sinner. And everyone, my friend, who fails to come to Christ in repentance and obtain the forgiveness of sins. You will discover in a day not far distant that the judgment of God will be your portion. Ah, friend, let me tell you of this dear man again, as he stands not only forgiven and clothed and declared righteous, but he is described as a brand plucked from the burnings. A brand plucked from the burnings. Oh, when I think of my condition before I was saved, and realize that I stood condemned before God and in danger of eternal fire and in danger of eternal torment, because hell and the lake of fire will be the portion of every unrepentant sinner. But I thank God that I can go back to that night in my experience, just like Joshua, when the filthy garments were removed, when the Lord said, cause his iniquity to pass away. And the word of the Lord came in freshness to my soul. Thy sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Let me ask you, friend, would you like to have that experience? Would you like to know the forgiveness of sins? Would you like to have the peace and the assurance that all is well for eternity, that your guilty past has been forever blotted out, and that you could stand in the presence of a holy God, declared righteous? Oh, think of the blessing of salvation. Not only to be forgiven, friend, but to be cleansed. Cleansed from the defilement of sin. And justified, declared righteous. That can be yours, my friend, if only you are prepared this evening to come as a guilty sinner and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the prodigal, as he returns from the far country. We see him there standing. I would take it in all his filth and in all his rags. For he too had been defiled by sin. His garments had been defiled. He had wasted his substance with riotous living. Lived as a young man a most reckless life. But I see that same dear man returning in repentance to the Father's house. And what does the Father say? Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and let us kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. Let me tell you, friend, God would do that for you tonight. If you will do like the prodigal, come in all your need, with all your sin, because you're not going to grow better by staying away. And your anxiety, and your working, and all the efforts that you would seek to put into obtaining favor with God, it will not remove one sin stain, my friend. But if you are prepared to acknowledge before God that you are a sinner, guilty and condemned and unfit for his presence, and just like Joshua, with your mouth closed, realizing that you cannot do a thing against the force of the adversary who is against you, and leave the work in God's hand, for my God is able. Able to save your soul. Able to cleanse you from the guilt of your sin. Able, my friend, to fit you for the courts of heaven. If only you will trust him. Oh, that someone in the meeting tonight might take the lesson from this dear man Joshua. Realizing that you are guilty. Realizing that you are unfit for the presence of God. Realizing that you do not have a word to speak in your own defense. And cease your doing. Cease your working. For working will not save you. The Lord Jesus Christ alone can save. He has power to forgive you. Power to deliver you. Power, my friend, to save you. For the great eternity.